What's up, Ramley? You are now in the kitchen with Chef Nixon for all your fixings for the latest and greatest of VCU men's basketball. So, VCU visited the University of Henrico. How'd it go? Let's get into it. All right. So, Henrico enters this game with a record of 21-7. The 14-2 in the conference, the A-10. And they're currently ranked number one in the conference. And they also are on the ride of a four-game win streak, only losing to the hard-nosed UMass before that. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Henrico, if you happen to miss the game against VCU earlier, or haven't just been paying attention to them, the University of Henrico is a defensive team with three-point shooting ability, and they have, it's so hard for me to give them compliments. They have a, and they're led by a star player in Jordan King. Now, Jordan King is averaging 19 points, four rebounds, and three assists. He is a jump shooting guard who never seen a shot he doesn't like. He can get his points off the dribble, but he's also very patient and plays within the system. So it's unique to see. Now, the University of Henrico also has another quality player. They have a few quality players, but the one I want to highlight is Neil Quinn. Neil Quinn is, almost 7 foot, 260, 280, between there. He's averaging 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. And I think he really does a good job of being the true point forward, point center for Henrico. Jordan King likes to get the ball up and score. But when it comes to assisting the ball, I think Quinn does a really good job of orchestrating their offense from the middle of the court, going one-on-one in a sense. It's almost like a poor man's Nikola Jokic for the University of Henrico. Now, the last time the University of Henrico played VCU, they played him at the Stew, and VCU had something for that tale. And they held Jordan King well under his average, and also handed Henrico their first loss in A-10 conference play. So with that being said, you know the U of H will want to get some get back. King especially, as a leading scorer, leader of your team, when you have a under average performance against a team, especially a rival team, you circle the next matchup on the calendar with the mindset of, I'm going to go out and do and put my best foot forward to show them that that was a fluke. So this game has a lot of nuance to it, and also a lot of weight to it. The University of Henrico has a chance to win their first ever A-10 regular season title. But in order to do that, they have to win two of their last three games. One being VCU, the rivalry across town. Now, VCU, on the other hand, they're fighting for something as well. But we'll get to that in a second. VCU enters this game with a record of 19-9, 11-5 in the conference. And in the last three games, they have a record of 2-1, losing only to, you guessed it, the hard-nosed UMass team. BCU is currently on a two-game win streak. However, they haven't looked as dominant as before when they were riding a win streak of 7 or 8 games. They haven't looked that dominant. The offense hasn't been as smooth, and the continuity hasn't been there. Defensively, they had more mental breakdown and lapses than usual. And it showed up in final scores. It showed up in just small ways. If you look at just flashing back to the St. Louis game, we won, but we gave up 85 points to the worst team in the league. You know what I mean? The UMass game, we went out there and got spanked. The St. Joe's game, we should have beat them by 15, especially how they were playing, and we allowed them to keep it close and make it a single-digit game down the stretch. We played Rhode Island, and yes, we won. We dominated, but we still had moments of inconsistency. So with the University of Ryko currently playing this high level of basketball, VCU will need great performances from their leaders. Joe Bamisil is averaging 18 points, just under 18 points, in these last few games. And Max Shoga, who's been the most consistent player on this team, is averaging 14 points in the last three as well. Will VCU need someone else to step up? I think so. Will they have enough focus and dedication to pull out a well-needed victory? Because VCU wants to stay alive and keep that top four position so they can get a bye during the A-10 tournament. Will they have enough? Will they do enough? We'll see. Now, watching this game, shout out to everybody who came out to Ram House, first and foremost, and supported Riley and supported me as well. It was a great turnout. A lot of people showed up. Riley has a great app. They have a great idea going on over there. And I was very fortunate to be of some type of help to push that forward. It's a really good idea they have. And if you haven't checked it out, please check it out. It's pretty cool. Now, the first thing I want to say about this game is, in totality, this is what rival games are supposed to be. Both teams having something they're fighting for. The hate for each other is already there. Competitive hate. It's already there. One team already winning and beating the team at their home, and now they're trying to go and do the same thing in enemy territory. How will everybody react? Now, this game started off very back and forth. And how it started is exactly how it finished. Very back and forth. If you know Richmond, you know what they like to do. They have the matchup zone. They like to, offensively, they like to run it through Quinn, give him some time to create for himself, or in the middle of the court, create for himself or create for others. They still have a lot of action without the basketball, a lot of backdoor cuts, a lot of come together screens, a lot of wraps, a lot of curls. So you know what to expect from the U of H. VCU, under this new system of Ryan Odom, it's been a up and down type of season due to injuries, due to new lineups. It's been a lot. But this game represented both teams healthy, both teams ready to play, both teams with something to prove, both teams with something to win. And if you look at the game, it was filled with runs. University of Henrico would have a run, VCU respond. And what it came down to was big plays. And, you know, I've had people, you know, people know that I go for VCU. They know I represent VCU. I bleed black and gold. And people ask me, oh, Ed, how do you feel about the game this Saturday? How did you feel about it? And I would say, it was a damn good game. This game was full of runs, full of big plays, full of tough shots, full of momentum swings. Both teams show heart. Both teams show relentless effort. You know what I mean? Both teams had X factors. And it just came to who had the last run at the right time. That's what it really came down to. First, let's get to this. The game is full of runs. There's a moment in the game where the University of Henrico takes the lead in the first half, and they look like they can take away, they can pull off. VCU had a little small lead. Henrico takes it. The crowd is extremely into the game, as loud as all get out over there. You know, Jordan King is kind of hitting shots. You can tell he has it going for himself. But VCU holds on, and they go into half with a three-point deficit. You got to be happy with it, because there was a lot of plays towards the end that could have led to the University of Rutgers taking a big, big lead and having the crowd get extremely into it and completely flushing VCU out. But they hung on tough. And even though they had a turnover at the half with Max Shoga, and this is what I would say about Max. Everybody knows the step back to the left side is your move. You can't telegraph it. I'll say that. You can't telegraph it. You have to get to a point where you can disguise a little bit better and get to your step back, because people are starting to wait on that. And it was evident how Jordan King was guarding you. Too close, they didn't expect you to drive, and if you're trying to get a step back off, you have to be a threat to drive. Period, point blank. I thought we waited too long in that possession to really get going. We left with like 6 seconds. And typically when you have a last shot opportunity, you want to get the action going around 10 seconds. So it leaves you a little bit of time just in case they try to blitz. You still can pass out of it. If you do get a good look, you have some time to get an offensive rebound. But I think we went a tad bit too late. And it kind of worked out in our favor, because even though it was a turnover, we were able to contest and nobody was able to get a second chance shot up. But still, in a game like this, and this is, we're going to talk about this a little bit later. In a game like this, where you're playing a rival school, where you're playing a team that's number one in the conference, those type of possessions, even though it didn't turn out bad for you, it's an empty possession that you would need. Right? So, let's just get into that. Let's just get into that real quick. What I've learned from playing, especially going from, you know, the Eric Maynard era, my freshman and sophomore year, to going to my junior year, where we had a lot of talent but not a lot of continuity, to my senior year, where the chemistry was booming and we had to fight through adversity and to get to a point where we could actually shine like we were supposed to. One of the biggest things I've noticed that produced production and wins is really appreciating and valuing every possession. Sometimes we have mental lapses. Sometimes we think we can take a play off, not knowing that each possession truly matters. Now, would it be different if it was a four-quarter game opposed to a two-half game? Maybe, because I've been watching some of the women's game, and I've realized how the runs are different when you have a quarter opposed to two halves. It's just, I don't know why it is. It just feels different. And when you watch a game, it's evident that it is different. But you have to value possessions. Because simply not valuing one possession can change the momentum of a game in such a way that you can't recover. And I thought that throughout this game, it was a toughly contested game. I thought the U of H did a really good job of sticking to their guns, playing their style of basketball. And for the most part, I thought VCU did the same thing. However, I thought that, see, here's the crazy thing about it. Here's the crazy thing about it. I want to say that VCU left points on the board. But I could say the same thing for the University of Henrico. I could say the same thing. That's how tightly contested this game was. I wanted to be like, oh well, VCU, VCU just had to value possessions, but so did the University of Henrico. I thought they had way too many turnovers in crucial moments. Like they had a point where they were up like 10 and we turned them over like 3 times in a row. VCU had 19 points off their turnovers. You know what I mean? Points in the paint. At first, the University and Ryko were dominated in the paint. But at the end of the game, it was 34 points to 30 points in the paint. But if we're talking about valuing possessions, let's just get to some examples. Let's get to some examples. Okay? Defensively, too many times in our pick and roll coverage, our bigs failed to do one thing. For example, Jordan King in the second half, Jordan King hit a fall away 3-point basket over two people. And initially, I'm like, woo, that's just a tough shot. That's a really tough shot. And it was. It truly was. However, the issue was when we're blitzing, and blitzing means when Jordan King is involved in the pick and roll, we're going to commit two people to him. Now, when you blitz and you commit two people to somebody, there's two things you don't want to do. If you get him to pick up the ball, you don't want to jump and get out of position where he can split and make a direct pass to somebody, and it limits the time that you have on the backside to recover and help. And also, you don't want to allow in the pick and roll when you're blitzing, you don't want to allow the guard to turn the corner on the big who's blitzing. Because you're supposed to come together like this and force the guard towards half court. And on that play, Toby Lawal, great athlete, great feet, great length. He took a bad angle and allowed Jordan King to turn the corner slightly. But when you turn the corner and you beat someone off their top foot, they have to drop, and that creates space. Jordan King has been playing extremely well this game. He had the hot hand. That's all the space he needed to shoot that three. Now, if he takes the right angle and he forces Jordan King out towards half court, like it's supposed to be, how it's designed to go, then that shot will be from 38 feet out. And if he makes that, salute. And it's still salute because it still was a contested shot. However, you gave him that little bit of space that he needed to hit that shot. Now, offensively, let's talk about an example of how being undisciplined or unfocused, let's say unfocused, offensively came back to bite us. Let's use Joe Bamisil. Now, I've said multiple times before, you're going to have to live with some of the shots that Joe Bamisil takes because he can get hot and he can hit these shots and take over. Now, If we're talking about Joe Bama still at home compared to away, there's a difference. Joe Bama still is shooting high 40% at home from two and from three. Away games, he's shooting 33% from two and from three. That's a big difference. So the shots that you would usually take and make at home, we can live with. But on the road, I need to be a little bit more conservative and think about what actually is a good shot and what actually is a good shot at this time. So let me tell you this series. VCU went up, let's say, 8 to 10 points. Joe Bamisil, I think University of Henrico came down score, so it was like an 8 point. It was like an 8 point game at this point in time. He tries to respond early in the shot clock. No real offense ran. Shoots a deep three. Uncalled for. Completely ill-advised jump shot. Long range. No rhythm. Nobody there to rebound. Leads to a fast break because long shots equals long rebounds. They go out, score in transition. So not only do we waste possession, we give up an and one on the other end. And then he comes down and turns the ball over. They come back down to score. So that's a, in a matter of what? Less than 40 seconds, our lead that has like a four possession game is cut down to a one possession game, just like that, because of one ill-advised shot. So that's how important possessions are. Do I think, like, the same shot Joe Bamisil took, he could have got with 3 seconds left on the clock. But when you're in a position like VCU was, you have to value the time. You have to value the score and not just go for a shot that is okay. Or even, that was a bad shot, period. But in those situations, you have to try to get the best shot available. Run your offense crisp. Set screens. Sprint to the screens. Sprint off the screens. You know what I mean? Work the possession. Get the defense moving from side to side. Then attack the paint. Have them scrambling. And that same shot, even if you want to take it from the same distance, it would have a more rhythm to that shot. But being that we didn't do that, we erased an 8-point lead and made it a one-possession game in a matter of 40 seconds. And that completely changed the momentum of the game. And that completely changed the outcome, if you ask me. Now, with that being said, I spoke with some of the coaches. The idea to the game was Jordy King is going to get his, right? We want to try to limit him as much as we can, but he's going to get his because he's a gunner. He's going to try to get it regardless. You want to make it difficult. You want him to shoot more than he usually shoots to get his numbers. But what we can't have is others. The others can't beat us. And that's what happened on Saturday evening. Now, mind you, we had our own X factor, but they had an X factor as well. Our X factor was Toby LaWall. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Toby LaWall played extremely hard with a lot of energy, battling down there with Quinn, who probably outweighs him by 56 pounds. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where you just have to appreciate his effort. Some things he can handle, some things can't handle. Because really, Toby is skills away from being a three. He's really a three. You know what I mean? His body type is really a three. But his skills don't match his size just yet. It's going to get there, but just yet it doesn't match. So he plays the 4/5. And he's outmatched physically a lot of the times when we play true bigs. So with that, I think Toby played extremely well. Now, for the University of Henrico, Deji Bailey, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. And I'm really about to throw up, but I have to give them credit because he made plays when it seemed like VCU was going to be able to turn the tide. And one, some big rebound or something like that. He happened to make plays when it really counted. And it's just one of those things where it's like, it might just be their night. You know what I mean? But with that, you know, VCU could have rolled over and took an L. But instead, they had relentless fight. And that's why I commend VCU. They fought, and they fought hard. They got, the University of Henrico got to a 10-point lead with like 4 minutes left. And VCU started pressing, Toby the Wall got some steals. Zeb Jackson got his hands on deflections. And they really fought back. Only to have the one turnover Zeb had was just a bat breaker. And that's when he was looking for Max to come across half court. Didn't see. And I think it was Deji Bailey who made the play. A steal that led to just a wide open breakaway dunk. And that basically was the straw that broke the camel's back. Which led to VCU falling to the University of Henrico 79-76 in a classic battle in the A-10. And yeah, it sucks to say, but we were ousted by the Spiders. However, I will say this before I go. Though the Spiders won that game, though they may finish number one in the conference, they don't want to face us. They don't want to face us whatsoever. And we'll talk about that once we get to the moving forward section of the pod. So, the University of Henrico, Jordan King, 27 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And you got to take your hat off to Jordan King because he was able to hit big shots when his team needed him. And that's when you have a star player, when you have a go-to player, that's what he's supposed to do. And he made enough of those plays to put the University of Henrico in a position to win the game. You know what I mean? So you got to commend him for that. Neil Quinn had another decent game, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. His impact was felt even if the stats don't necessarily show that he was dominant. I felt like he played a huge role in the success of their offense and even their defense. Now, for VCU, Matt Shulga, 19 points, 4 rebounds. You know, the Cinemax. New movie, same production. He's going to go out there and hoop, and he did that. Now, Zeb Jackson, especially these last few games, has been playing. I don't give a damn about stats when it comes to Zeb Jackson. Because what he has been doing on the court has been nothing short of amazing. The energy, the effort, the leadership. The energy, the effort, the leadership has all been amazing for Zeb Jackson. And the offense is coming along. 13 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. And I'm telling you what, the announcers on the game said it as well. But if Zeb can start getting a consistent 3-pointer, and for me, they said the 3-pointer. I say a float game too. Like sometimes he makes the extra pass where I feel as if he could just get off his own floater. And I know that I've dealt with that shit too. I'm a very unselfish player, and I know Zeb is too. But Zeb has the ability to be a complete stud. Complete stud. And those are the two things, two areas I feel like he needs to improve on to really take that next step. But I really enjoy watching him play these last few games. Now, moving forward. With that loss, I think our at-large bid is out the window. I really do. We really needed that win. I really do think it's out the window. I could be wrong. I would love to be wrong, but I think it's out the window. Now, we still have things to fight for. You still want to get that bye in Brooklyn in the A-10 tournament. You got two more games left. Two very difficult games as well. VCU will host Duquesne this Tuesday on senior night. You got to take care of business for your seniors and for what you're fighting for. Now, Duquesne ain't no slouch. They haven't had the best success. They're right in the middle of the pack. But that means Jack Daniels, because Dede Grant and Jimmy Clark are for real. And let's not forget, we won the regular season. We won the conference tournament last year. Facts. But another fact is Duquesne kicked our ass last year. So, we're still in the hunt for the top four spot. We don't want to allow that to slip away from us. In order for us not to do that, we really have to take care of business with Dayton, and we have to take care of business with Duquesne starting Tuesday. It's imperative. To shake off this loss and bounce back like we got some heart, like we know what time it is. Because, don't get me wrong, I think that we can beat any team in A-10. The teams that I'm more concerned about, here are my top three teams I'm concerned about, and then everybody else is just like, whatever, I think we can beat them. And it's not probably not who you think it is. Loyola Chicago, number one. Loyola Chicago, I still think we won because Joe Bamisil went crazy. But if you go back and watch that game, that first half was the most sloppiest, fortunate bounces we've gotten this whole season. This whole season. Loyola Chicago's attention to detail and focus on the defensive end was outstanding. They had our offense looking sloppy. They had us running offense out by the half-court line. So Loyola Chicago, I really don't want to play. Let's call it spade a spade. I don't want to do it. Secondly, St. Bonaventure. I don't know what the heck is going on with us in St. Bonaventure. I have no clue what that's about. None. But they beat us twice. And neither one of those times did I feel like they deserved it. But they beat us twice. Easy to say I don't want to see them again. And thirdly, is UMass. Granted, I think that we are way better than what we played against UMass. I do. But I will say this. They have played all of the top teams extremely well and extremely close. Now, yeah, they'll trick off some money and lose a LaSalle. But when they're playing a top 14, they come to play. And their style of play is physical and hard-nosed, and they come to put your face in it. So in the words of Chad Johnson, you better wear two chin straps, because it's going to be a battle all night long. Dayton, I'm not too concerned about. We can beat Dayton. I'm not concerned with Dayton. We can beat Dayton. Richmond, I am not concerned with Henrico. We can beat Henrico. We can beat them. But those three teams, I have my concerns. But first and foremost, let's take care of business Tuesday against Duquesne. All right? Senior night, everybody pat the stew. Show these seniors love. I don't know who's coming back, who ain't coming back. You just NIL and transfer portal don't got it all mixed up. Who's a senior, who ain't? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Who's coming back, who's not? All right? But that's all I got for y'all. So until next time, never quit. Stay humble. Peace.